This past Shabbos, we had the special Haftorah of Parsha Shkolim. So we read from the Parsha, it's Parsha's Mishpatim. Then we took out another Sefer Torah for Parsha Shkolim in Parsha's Kisisa. And then we read a Haftorah. The Haftorah is called the Haftorah of Yehoyada HaKohen. And we'll soon see there's a connection between the Haftorah of Yehoyada HaKohen from Malachim Beis, Perik Yud Beis, and the Shkolim. Now, Rav Schlesinger pointed out, we know that a Haftorah is always connected to the Parsha. Let's say you take out two Sifrei Torah, for example, let's say it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So then the Haftorah goal is connected to the last thing that you read. So the Haftorah is not anymore from the Parsha, but the Haftorah is connected to Rosh Chodesh. We read, like my bar mitzvah came out on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so we read from Yeshaya Perek Samach Vav, and over there it says at the end of that perek, it says, Mirei Chodesh B'chotshoi. So it mentions Rosh Chodesh, so that's connected, that's a connection to the Mafter, which we read from the second Sefer Torah of Rosh Chodesh. So the Haftorah is connected not to the Parsha, but to the last thing that you read in the Torah, which is about Rosh Chodesh. Now, Erev Rosh Chodesh, like this year, Tavshin Ayin, it came out that Parsha Shkolim was also the day before Rosh Chodesh, because Sunday and Monday was Rosh Chodesh Adar. So usually when you have Shabbos right before Rosh Chodesh, we read a special of Torah concerning David and Yoinasan, where there in that Haftorah it says, Mochar Chodesh. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So here's an interesting thing, that Mochar Chodesh is like an exception to the rule, because we didn't read anything in the Parsha, we didn't have a special Mafter about Mochar Chodesh, and yet the Haftorah of Mochar Chodesh preempts what you regularly would have read from the Parsha, connected to the Parsha. And it's not connected to anything. By Rosh Chodesh, the Haftorah is connected to the Mafter. By Mocher Chodesh, the Haftorah, there's no special Mafter, and it's not connected to the Parsha. But there's a special category called Mocher Chodesh. Now, what happened this past Shabbos was that now we have Mocher Chodesh, and we also have Parsha Shkolim. So here, the Haftorah from Yehoyada HaKohen, which we mentioned is in Malachim Beis, Perik Yud Beis, which is connected somehow to Shkolim, so now that took precedent over Mocher Chodesh. We didn't read the Haftorah of Mocher Chodesh, we read the Haftorah from the second Sefer Torah, the last thing that we read, which was about Parsha Shkolim. So we read this Haftorah from Yehoyada HaKohen that's connected to Shkolim. So Rav Schlesinger, I think, was trying to bring out that there must be some important lesson that Mocher Chodesh usually preempts the regular Haftorah that you would have read, right? And now, when it's Parsha Shkolim, now we preempt Mocher Chodesh. There are some places where they read the first pasuk or two from the Haftorah of Mocher Chodesh at the end of the Haftorah of Shkolim. They add on, don't forget, it's also Mocher Chodesh. They don't read the whole Haftorah, but a lot of shuls don't even do that. They just forget about Mocher Chodesh. So there must be a very important message that the Haftorah of Parsha Shkolim is coming to teach us. And Rav Schlesinger is going to discover what that important message is. Now, there's a few facts that you have to know concerning the Haftorah there in Malachim Beis, Perik Yud Beis. First of all, there's a Kohen Gadol called Yehoyada HaKohen, and the Haftorah is named in the Gemara. It's called the Haftorah of Yehoyada HaKohen. He was a tzaddik from day one till he passed away. Then there was a king called Yehoyash HaMelech. Now, Yehoyash HaMelech was the tzaddik as long, it says, as Yehoyad HaKoyen was around. Once Yehoyad HaKoyen died, Yehoyash began considering himself as an Avodah Zarah. People worshipped Yehoyash. Why did people worship Yehoyash? Because Yehoyash had a mother, and his mother was a very evil person, and she killed out the anyone who was related to the kings of Yehuda, and Yehoyash hid. Where did he hide? Where could he hide that she wouldn't find him? He hid in the Kodesh HaKodashim for 6 years. Nobody ever goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim except the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So apparently the Kohen Gadol, Yehoyada Kohen, kept the secret that Yehoyash is there. But meanwhile, after Yehoyada Kohen died, people said to Yehoyash, how did you survive 6 years in the Kodesh HaKodashim? We know if somebody goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim without permission, he dies. And you survived. Must be because you yourself are, Chas V'Shalom, you yourself are a godly, they made him an Avodah Zarah, and he began to believe it also. So, unfortunately. But meanwhile, while he was still good, the Haftorah there tells us that he told the Kohanim that they have to gather money. Now, I'm trying to find the name. I forgot the name of his mother offhand, but this evil woman, she did not allow the Beis HaMikdash to be kept up, which we call the Bet HaKabayis. So, sorry?
Atalia?
Yeah, it could be that was the name. Yes, very good. Atalia, I think that was the name.
Pronounce it differently.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Very. I think that's the name. Okay. Maybe we'll see it as we go on. But anyway, so she did not allow the Beis HaMikdash to be kept up. So Yehoyash told the Kohanim that we're going to gather together three types of money. The first one is the lashon of the pasuk is Vayomer Yehoyash Ela Kohanim. Kol kesef hakadoshim asher yuva beis Hashem, all the money that's brought in to the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, kesef oiver ish. And it would seem that this is where Parsha Shkolim comes in. The money of the people who passed. Now, where is this taken from? This is taken from Parsha Shkolim. Because by Parsha Shkolim it says that kol ha'oiver al apkudim, whoever's counted by the Bnei Yisrael, you had to bring the machzis ha-shekel, the half-shekel, at a certain age. Let's say the age is 20. Some say it's 13 when you became bar mitzvah. But whoever's counted, whoever's a mature male, paid the machzis ha-shekel. And the lashon of the pasuk is kol ha-oiver al apkudim, whoever passed by and was counted. So here the lashon in Melachim, in the Haftorah, is kesef oiver ish. So that's the Shkolim. Here we have the connection. And the Gemara says, you know why we read this on Parsha Shkolim? The dummy lay. This is similar to Parsha Shkolim. Where's the connection to Parsha Shkolim? It would seem from these words right here, which Yehoyash said to the Kohanim. All the money that of Kesef Oiver Ish, Kol Oiver Al Pkudim, there you have the connection to Shkolim. That's what it would seem. But we have a problem, as we'll see in a second. The second money that was collected was kesef nafshoyz erkoy. What is this money? Erechin, the simple understanding of these words are that in the end of Parsha B'chukosai, we have what's called erechin, which means that depending on how old a person is and what gender a person is, male or female, they have a certain value that the Torah gives them. Once you get over the hill, you get older, you start depreciating. You're worth less. But in other words, if a person says, Erechi Olai, my value I'm giving to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's your value? So it depends if you're male or female. It depends how old you are. And whatever category you fit in, that's what you have to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So this seems to be the second category here. Or if I say, the Erech, the worth of that person, whatever that person's worth, I want to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. So we figure out what the person's worth, you have to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. And it says in the end of Parashat B'chukosha exactly what each person is worth. So that would seem to be this second category. Kesef, nafshoyz erkoy, erichin. The third money was kol kesef ashayala, alev ish lohavi beis Hashem. The third one was a nedava, whatever you wanted to give. So this is how Rashi and the Radak learned these three different kinds of kesef, of money that's mentioned here in Melachim Beis. The first is the Machzis HaShekel, the second is Erechin, the third is a Nedava, a donation. So what did Yoyosh tell the Kahanim? So as the Radak explains, that the regular Machzis HaShekel, that went for Karbonis. However, the Klal Yisrael wanted to do tshuva because they had not given money in the past year for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, they now wanted to give extra. I'll give my regular Machzis HaShekel, but I want to make up from the past years. So Yehoyah said, okay, all the extra money that people are going to donate, besides what they're regular going to have for this year, we'll use for what purpose? We'll use it for the Bet HaKabayis. We'll use it for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And who was supposed to collect that? The Kohanim. Either the Kohanim were supposed to be the treasurers and give it over to the treasury, or they were going to get the money personally. And whenever the Beis HaMikdash needed money, they would go to the Kohanim and say, give us money so we can keep up the Beis HaMikdash. It needs a repair or whatever, and they'll get the money. This system did not work out because every Kohen, when he was asked for money, said, well, why don't you go to the other guy? And it didn't work out. And we're going to get into the topic that this year is called, who invented the Stakapushka. We're going to see that Yehoyada HaKohen, he's the one who made a whole new system. There's going to be a Pushka box, and everybody's going to come. Instead of giving it to the Kohanim directly, you're going to give it into the Pushka box, and that's how the Beis HaMikdash will have money for the upkeep. The problem with this whole explanation that we gave is that in the Gemara says, why do we read Daf Torah of Yoyada HaKohen on Parshas Shkalim? Because it says in the Pasuk, Kesef Nafshis Erkoi. So what Pasuk does the Gemara use? The second one. And the question is, as we explained it, the second one was not Machzis HaShekel. The second one was Erechin, was the Torah value. Why does the Gemara bring the second one? The Gemara should have brought the first one. The first one was the one, Kesev Oiver Ish, Kol Oiver Al Pkudim. That seems to be the connection to Parshas Shkalim. And yet we bring the second one. So there's a commentary on the side. It would seem it's from Rabbi Yeshaya Pick. And he writes, hey, you're right, the Gemara should really begin earlier. Not from the second Kesef, but from the first Kesef. It's a mistake. And he brings a commentary to Rush that says the same thing. The Gemara really meant to start the Pasuk earlier. However, Rav Schlesinger brought a sefer called Ben Poras Yosef, brought down many times by the Chidah on Haftoros. He did not have the Girsa like Rabbi Yishaya Pick, and he asked the question, why does the Gemara mention the second Kesef? They should have started from the first Kesef. And he answers, it must be from this we have a proof. Not like Rabbi Yishaya Pick says, change the Gemara and start earlier from the first Kesef. But rather, the second Kesef also refers to Shkolim. We said till now that it refers to Erechin, the special Torah value that every male and female has, depending on age and gender. And this sefer, Ben Poros Yosef, says, no, these words, not like Rashi and the Radak said, that it says three times kesef, because in fact there were three separate sources of income. One is nedavo, one is erichin, one is shkolim. No, this second kesef, nafshes erkoi, also refers to shkolim. So the obvious question is, how does these words, the kesef, the value of your nefesh, how does that refer to shkolim? It would seem that it refers to erichin. And this is what Rosh Hashanah is going to explain in this year. Now, we get into the pushka. Yoyod HaKoyin saw that it's not, and the king also, they saw this whole system that the Kohanim were collecting all this money wasn't working. So what happened? Vayikach Yoyod HaKoyin Aron. Yoyod HaKoyin took a box, a chest, echad. Vayikov Chor Bedalto. He made a hole in its door. Vayiten oisei etzlam mizbeach yamin. He put it on the right side of the mizbeach, which means when he came into the Beis HaMikdash, it would be on the north. In the Beis HaMikdash, the door was from east to west. So you entered from the east. And the Kaisel Maravi that we have today was behind the Kachar Kadashim. That's the Maravi, that's the west side. You entered, the entranceway was like from the Har HaZesim going that way towards the Kaisel Maravi. You're going from east to west. If you imagine a map and you're going from Eretz Yisrael to east to United States, which is west, on your right side is the north, right? And on your left side is the south. If you're going from America to Eretz Yisrael, you're going from west to east, then it's the opposite. From west to east, on your right side is going to be South Antarctica, and on your north side, on your left side is going to be north. And I'm saying this for a reason, because Schlesinger pointed out, here is the source for the Pushka box. Who invented the Pushka box? This was Yoyod HaKoyin. Because it says, he put it on the right side of the Mizbeach, Bevoi Ish Beis Hashem, V'nosnu Sham HaKohanim, Eskol HaKesev Amuva Beis Hashem. All the money that was brought in was put into this box. The box was locked up. When it got full, and you couldn't put any more money in, they would empty it out, and it went into... This was the system. Instead of giving it to the Kohanim individually, then they had a problem when they needed money. They put it in a box, and everything that came in went to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. So he was Mechadish to Pushka. Now, Rav Schlesinger says today that a lot of people are collecting tzedaka with talus bags or with tefillin bags. It has a zipper on it. And this has become a style. I don't know who invented that. But today we go around with a Pushka box, a portable one. The real Pushka box was put in the Beis HaMikdash. It was like built in. It was a stationary thing. And there's a minig in shuls that you go into shuls, and they have some shuls. Everybody they have portable ones, but many shuls have a one that is built into the wall of the base of the shul. So the Chassam Sofer says, what happens in the Mishkan by Moshe Rabbeinu or by Shlomo HaMelech earlier before Yoyod HaKoyin? Somebody was bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, and he had his orus. He wanted to give charity. There was no Pushka box. So the Chassam Sofer proves, yes, there was a Pushka box. But he says, he brings proofs that the Pushka box was inside already of the Mishkan. If it's inside the Mishkan, it's in the Kodesh, in the Holy. Nobody's, Chas V'Shalom, going to borrow any money from there. But the Yoyod HaKoyin, when he made his stationary Pushka box with a hole in it where you put in the money, it was in the outside before you walked into the actual Heichal. It was before there. So it was not yet holy. And it was not holy, so people rationalized and they said, well, let me, you know, I'll just take a loan here. I'm going to pay it back. They may have forgotten to pay it back. So therefore, in order that such problems should not, loans or not loans, forgetting, in order we don't get into such problems, we made it that once you put the money in the hole, you lost control. You can no longer retrieve that money. You want change, you're not able to get change. You put in the wrong amount, too bad, it's in there. The point over here is that the pushka box, the real pushka box, not the ones with the zipper, which he says is, it's very nice, people collect stuck it that way, but he's trying to say that the format, the way the pushka box was a stationary thing with a hole, you can't get change, you can't open it up, you can't close it. Once you put it in, we find later in the second base of Migdash, there was a thing called a shofar. It looked like a shofar. A shofar has a small opening by the mouth, and it's bigger at the bottom. It was also, you put in a coin in the top, and then it went into a big area at the bottom, but in the top you couldn't retrieve it anymore either. That was in the second base of Migdash. But in the times of Yoyada, he invented that there's this stationary box with a hole. You put it in, you lose control. So he wants to explain what's the idea over here. That we said that it helped that the people wouldn't borrow and forget to pay back. But he's saying there's a point here with the tzedakah that you lose control of the money. And he's going to develop that point as we go ahead. Now, there is a sefer called Sefer HaKushiyus L'Echad Min HaRishonim. This is a sefer that was found somebody of the Maran who lived in the time of the Maran Rutenberg. Unfortunately, it's in Germany. It's not a schus to go to Germany, but I was at the kever of the Maran Rutenberg, which is in Worms, near where the yeshiva, where Rashi was. So this Rishon was, we don't know his name, and the name of the sefer is a sefer of questions of one of the Rishonim. Anonymous. We don't know who he is. We know he lived at the time of the Maran Rutenberg. So he asked the question, why is it that all these built-in pushkas are in the right side of the shul? Why not on the left side? The answer is because he says, this pasuk in Malachim Beis, Perik Yud Beis, pasuk Yud, Vayikach Yoyada, and he took an aron, and he made a hole in it, and he put it on the side of the Mizbeach Miyamin. And we said in the Beis Hamikdash it happened to be on the north side. In shuls in America, because we are facing Mizrach, Eretz Yisrael, so the right side will come out to be towards south. Right? But the idea is, it's always on the right side. The shul I daven in Muncie, they have this built into the wall, and in fact it's on the right side. Where do you know? How do you know it should be on the right side? Maybe it should be on the left side. The answer is, the inventor of the closed pushka box, Yoyada, he made it on the right side. That's how we copy it, and we make it as well on the right side. Since we're talking about Stucka and the inventor of the pushka box, etc., just an interesting thing happened to me that there's the Mishnah Brura says that during Chazoras Hashatz, a person is supposed to do nothing except listen to the Shatz repeating over the Shemayin Esrei and answering Baruch Hu Var Shemai and Amen. You're not supposed to wrap up your tefillin, although there are people of Nusach Svard, Hasidish people, they put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and when they take off Rashi's tefillin, put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, during the Chazoras HaShatz. I asked somebody, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, you should not do that specifically. You should not change your tefillin at that time. First of all, he says you're supposed to keep on your tefillin until after Ashrei Uvolatzion. Second of all, you're supposed to do nothing during Chazoras HaShatz. So how do you do it? He brought me a sefer, I think it's called Likutei Maryach. Then Likutei Maryach said, yes, the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't do it, but there are other great rabbis who say that you're allowed to do it. But the point is that It says in the Mishnah Berurah, don't do anything during Chazaras Hashatz. Unfortunately, during Chazaras Hashatz, people find all kinds of things to do. The best is they learn during Chazaras Hashatz. The worst is they talk during Chazaras Hashatz, but they speak about who won the baseball game, etc., etc. But you're really supposed to do nothing. So I asked a question to Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. My grandson told me that if you write him a letter, he had a question. There's a wealthy person who undertook that any cost of postage or whatever, Reb Chaim Kanievsky answers questions from all over the world. I understand during lunchtime he has something to eat, and while he's eating, they bring him questions that people ask him from all over the world, and his gabbai writes the address of the person he's writing to, and he signs Kanievsky in the back. I think it's 26 Rehov Rashbam, Beis, B'nai Brak, Eretz Yisrael. And he doesn't say, in honor, usually you write L'chvod so-and-so, and you give a salutation, and he just writes the answer to the question. So I got back, I wrote a question, I wrote this question, and the question is, are you allowed to go around collecting tzedakah during Chazaras Hashatz? Many shuls, the gabbai tzedakah, not with the permanent tzedakah box, but with the portable one, he goes around the shul collecting during Chazaras Hashatz. A, could he collect? B, if he's collecting, am I allowed to give? The Mishnah Berurah says, you're not allowed to do anything during Chazaras Hashatz. So I got back an answer around, I think it was 2 weeks after I sent it, had time to go, time to come back, got this big air letter, I open it up, and inside there are two words. The two words of Chaim Kanievsky wrote during lunch were, Haminig Lahakel. Those are the answer. So I knew that the minig is lahakel also because I saw it. The custom is to be lenient that you could do it. But now that Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote those words, it means that that's the halacha. That even though the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't do anything during Chazaras Hashatz except listen to the Baal Tefillah saying the bracha and answering Baruch Hu V'Shemayim Amen. However, it's a halacha that for tzedakah, maybe if you ask people collecting tzedakah, that's the best time where you have everybody. Because earlier the people come in late. After Chazaras Hashatz, half of the shul is already gone. So if you want to get the majority of people at the right time, and in a relaxed manner, you know what I mean? So that's probably the most opportune time to get the tzedakah. So that's probably why the minig is a huckle. Anyway, so getting back to our theme of the pushka box. And so the pasuk says concerning the machzis hashekel, v'nosnu ish kaifer nafshay b'fkayd oisam. When you give the machzis hashekel, which was used for the karbonis in the base of Migdash, there's a certain kapora on the person. There's a certain forgiveness on the person. So the Tosfos in Masechta Chulin asks a question. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with the machzis hashekel until Hashem showed Moshe in a fire. Zeh yitnu. This is what they should give. He showed him a fiery machzis hashekel. So Tosfos asks if Hashem had to show it to Moshe because he didn't understand something. Why isn't this included with three things that we find Moshe had difficulty with, which Hashem said, Zeh, this is what it is. What are the three things? One was the menorah. Hashem had to show him how the menorah exactly is made. Second of all, Kiddush HaChodesh, exactly what moment every new month begins. Very complicated calculations. And the third were the shrutzim that the Torah says there are certain nine shrutzim that are metame, which exactly those shrutzim were. Moshe had difficulty, Hashem showed it to him. Zeh, this is it. He showed him a menorah. He showed him this is exactly the time that you have to make the new moon, and these are the shrutzim. Why doesn't it include the machzis hashekel? He had difficulty there as well. So Tosfos answers that the only time Hashem showed it to him was by menorah. He had a problem understanding exactly how the menorah looks. By the Ibra HaChodesh, he had a problem exactly what moment is the precise calculation for the new month. What are exactly the nine shrutzim? He had to be shown. By the Machzor HaShekel, he didn't have a problem what the Machzor HaShekel is. It says in the Torah, it's Esrim Geira HaShekel, this is a Machzor, it's 10 Geira, and if you have this coin of gold with this amount of gold in it, that, and you make a round coin, that's the Machzor HaShekel. What did Moshe have a problem with? Says Tosfos that Moshe had a problem, how is a person able to give a kapara? The Pasuk says, V'nosnu ish kaifer nafshay, that this Machzor HaShekel is going to be like a forgiveness for you. How could a person give a forgiveness? That was his problem. So Hashem had to showed him. When he showed him the Machzor HaShekel, this is my own thought, he showed it to him in fire. Why did he show it to him in fire? He wanted to show him the passion that you give the Machzor HaShekel with. He wanted to explain to him how the Machzor HaShekel is a substitute for the person himself. We'll soon see what the Machzor HaShekel was mechaper for. So how do you make a Machzor HaShekel? That's why it's not included with the other three. Those are technical. How does the menorah look? Which shrutzim? When is the time for Kiddush HaChodesh? That wasn't the problem with the Machzor HaShekel. The problem was, how does it work? How can money be a kapara for a person? So Hashem showed him the fire of the Machzor HaShekel, means to explain it well. Haroah Kodesh Baruch Lahavin Heitev Ulahidiyoy LiYisrael, Tosfos says. This is the understanding. If you'll understand it clearly, now you can go ahead and explain it to Bnei Yisrael. So the Chasam Sofer asks the question, wait a second. This is not the first time we have the concept of a kapara. We had it in last week's parsha, Parsha Mishpatim. And now Moshe wakes up by the Machzor HaShekel. Where do you have it by Parsha Mishpatim? The Pasuk says, Ve'im shor nagachum et moshulcha. If you have an ox that is three times damages, v'huad bebolov, and the owner was warned, you better watch, you have a wild shor, he's going to kill somebody. V'lo yishmerenu, he didn't watch him. V'hemis isha yisha, and the shor killed a man or a woman. Hashor yisakel, you have to stone the shor, kill the shor. He's a nuisance, he's killing people. Begam bolov yumas, the owner has to die, but it doesn't mean die. He has to die means b'dei shemayim. You were negligent. You deserve misa b'day shemayim. Im kaifer yushas olav v'nasam pidja nafshay k'chol asher yushas olav. Bezdin says you can be mechaper on yourself through money. The question is it the value of the damager or the value of the person who got killed? Who that's a machlokas, Rabbi Kivin, Rabbi Shmuel, and the Gemara. Is it mazik or nizik? But in other words, you could pay money, and with the money, you get forgiveness. So that Moshe had no problem with. Why over here does he have a problem? This is the question that the Chasam Sofer asks. If he understood that kapara, why did he have a problem with the Machzor HaShekel? So now, the Rav Schlesinger brought a mechilta, and this mechilta starts opening up this whole idea over here. The Rabbi Shmuel said on this pasuk that you can give money by an ox that kills. So the owner really deserves to be punished by Hashem. But he can give money to get a kapor. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Boy urei racham of shomisha amr v'haya oilam. Al bas v'dam. Look what mercy Hashem has on a man of flesh and blood. Sha'adam kaines atzmei m'mamen b'day shemayim. You can buy yourself, you could redeem yourself with money from your punishment in shemayim. It says in the pasuk, you're supposed to die, which is misa b'day shemayim, for when your ox killed. And then the pasuk says you can give money. So you can get forgiveness from misa b'day shemayim through money. And where else do we find the same thing? By Machzor HaShekel. Ki sisa es roish b'nei Yisrael of kudeyem. V'nosan ish kaifer nafshay. Where else do we find it? In Melachim, Beis, Perek Yud Beis, ish kesef nafshoyis erkoi. You should give the value of your life. So we find a pigeon on your nefesh. So this mechilta v'oimer, another pasuk of Mishlei, kofer nefesh ish ashray. A rich man can give the kofer his forgiveness for his soul. So here we see from this mechilta that they're using, you remember that second kesef that we had in Yoyada? That second kesef that looked like it's Erechin. It's speaking about end of Parsha B'chukosai, the Torah value of each person. And yet we had the Sefer, which was the Sefer Ben Poras Yosef. Ben Poras Yosef said, no, it's not going on Erechin. It's going on Shkolim. We see that from the Mechilta here. When it says Ish, when it says Kesef Nafshis Erechoy, we don't mean, even though it used the word Erech, don't get fooled by the word Erech. We're not speaking about Erechin. We're speaking about Machzis HaShekel. We're speaking about the Kesef Oiver Ish, Oiver Lapkudim, Machzis HaShekel. But by Machzis HaShekel, there was also, the money was used as a forgiveness. What was the forgiveness for? The forgiveness for was for the Egel, for the golden calf. Even though the Parsha of Machzis HaShekel comes before the golden calf, there's two answers. One answer is Hashem creates the refuah before the makkah, the cure before the disease, or we have the famous rule, ein mugdam u'mocher b'Torah. There is not necessarily any chronological order to the Torah. The Chazal say it was going on the Maisa Ha'egel, and they use it from the word zeh. When the Bnei Yisrael complained that Moshe wasn't here, he didn't come down from Har Sinai when he was supposed to, and they went ahead and built the Egel, they said, Zeh Moshe Ish lo yadana mehoyaloi. What happened to Moshe? He didn't show up. So, keneged that, Zeh Yitnu. The Pasuk says, give this Machzis HaShekel, that will be a kapora on the chet of an Egel. Now we begin to understand. Moshe understood how you can have kapara for your life. We saw that the kapara by a Shor Hamuad that killed that the owner's supposed to die b'day Shemayim, and yet he gets forgiveness. What Moshe didn't understand was how does the money of the Machzis HaShekel, how is that a kapara for the chet of the Egel for Avodah Zarah? What is the money that you're going to give? How does that rectify the sin of the Egel of Avodah Zarah? This is what Hashem in the fire explained to Moshe. And now you go ahead and explain it to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe, at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, gives Musar to the Bnei Yisrael. And he says to them, you sinned over here and you sinned over there. And one of the places that he said they sinned was a place called Dizov. There really wasn't a place called Dizov, but this was a reminder to them, you sinned with the Egel. You know why you sinned with the Egel? This was right before they went into Eretz Yisrael. And Eivor HaYar, then Moshe gave them this Musar. You know why you sinned with the Egel? Because Kesev Herbesi Lahem, Vizov Osu Labal. Through the gold and silver, they sinned to the Baal, to the Egel. It was the money that caused them to forget about Hashem and to serve Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, used this to defend the Bnei Yisrael. When he's speaking to the Bnei Yisrael, he criticizes them. But when he spoke to Hashem, he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Bishvil Kesev Izov Sheishpatu Lehem LeBnei Yisrael, Ad She'amru Dai, He Goram She'osu Es Ha'egel. You know, what do you want from the Bnei Yisrael? You gave them so much money, we learned in Mitzrayim and in the Yam Suf, they had so much money that the Gloshen of the Gemara is, Mayasa HaBen Shelo Yechta. You set him up for destruction. You overindulge your children, you give them all the best in the world, and then they go ahead and they forget about Hashem. You gave them gold and silver. And we, Rav Schlesinger, I don't think he answered this question. He asked, where do we find that the Bnei Yisrael died? They said, Atcha Amru, die. Dizov means they said enough. We found that Moshe had to chase them away from the Yam Suf. Vayas, the Pasuk says over there that Moshe, Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael mi Yam Suf. He forced them. They wanted to take more gold and silver. So he asked the question, where do we find that they said enough? But because he told Hashem, you gave them so much money that the Jews said enough. We can't take it anymore. It's too much. He says, I don't know where that is because it seems that they did want more. Okay. But the point is that Moshe tried to defend the Bnei Yisrael. They had so much money, of course they went ahead to the Avodah Zorah. And the Gemara says, when does a lion roar? Not when it's eating wheat. It roars when it's eating meat. And also the Gemara says, these are all Mishalim, how they get spoiled, and then they leave Hashem. Vayishman Yishurin Vayivad. Yishurin got fat, and then he rebelled against Hashem. There was a weak parah, the Gemara says, a bony parah, and the owner gave it good food to eat, and it got healthy. And what did it do one day? When the owner came, gave him a kick. So the owner says, look, when you were starving, I didn't get kicked. Now that you ate so much, now you give me a kick. So the same thing. The gold and silver caused them to serve Avodah Zorah. So there's a sefer Igeres HaKodesh from the Rebbe Elimelech Melezenz. The Rebbe Elimelech Melezenz said, I heard from a certain gadol. It says that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah killed the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. Today, if we look at somebody who serves an idol made out of wood, the guy is crazy. What are you serving an idol of wood? The wood can't help you anything. But in the olden times, before the Sanhedrin killed the Yetzer of Avodah Zorah, people ran after Avodah Zorah. When Mashiach comes, we're going to look, and the Yetzer Hara will be bottled. We'll look at all our desires and say, well, were we crazy? For that, we ran after all those desires? They don't make sense. Just like today, we look at Avodah Zorah. So so he asks the question, you know, a person, you can retire. He gets too old, he can't do the job anymore. Please, they give him the pink slip, retire, give him a gold watch. See you next time. But a malach is a spiritual entity, a pure spiritual thing. You can't just kill a malach and retire him. So he says, Ein Echanami. He wasn't retired, he just had a midlife career change. He went from Avodah Zorah to a different kind of Avodah Zorah. And what Avodah Zorah is that? That's the Avodah Zorah of money. Like we find by Avin Asena or Rabbim, that when a person runs after money and richness, that is similar to Avodah Zorah. The brother of the Marami Prague in a Sefer HaChaim writes on a Pasuk, in the end of Malachim, it says, by Shlomo HaMelech, there was so much silver and gold in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Ein Kesef, Loi Nechshav Bimei Shlomo Lemoma. Money in the times of Shlomo was worth nothing, because there was so much of it. So he asks the question, there's a word here that's extra. It should have said, Ein Kesef Nechshav Bimei Shlomo Lemoma. What's the word Loi? Ein Kesef Loi Nechshav Bimei Shlomo Lemoma. It should be, the word loy is extra, it doesn't fit in well. So he says the pshat's like this. The word kesef comes from a word, nichsefon nafshi, which means my soul desired it. In the days of Shlomo, not only because there was so much money, but because Shlomo was the chacham mikol adam, and he asked Hashem, give me a lev shomea. This wise man knew that the most important thing in life is to have a discerning heart, a heart that wants to follow Hashem, that wants to learn His Torah. So, Ein Kesef, no one had a desire for Kesef. The word Kesef comes from Nichsefon Nafshi, my soul desires. Ein Kesef, you know why? Because Lo Nechshav Bimei Shlomo Lemoma. Because money in the times of Shlomo was not considered by anybody as nothing. It had no value. So money is that which makes a person forget Hashem. It makes a person rebel against Hashem. And that's why he says that our avos had, each one had a coin. And on each coin, there's two sides to a coin. They always reminded themselves, where does the money come from? Avram had a zok and a zakena on one side of the coin, and a bocher and a bechura from the other side, to remember the ness that they had a child even though when they were old. They had an old man, an old woman one side, a young girl and a young boy on the other. Yeshua, who comes from Shevet Yosef, Bechar Shoiroi Hodorloi. He had an ox on one side, and he had a ram on the other. And as don't get blown away that you're like an ox. On the other side was a ra'im. David had a stick on one side and a tower on the other side. He was the king. Don't forget the stick. Mordechai had aterazov mikan. He had gold on one side of the coin. On the other side, he had sak ve'efer. All of this was to, don't let the money make you like the ox who kicks his master. Don't get caught up. Don't serve money as an avodah zarah. And through that, you can get carried away with money that you begin, like Yehoyosh, this is part of the lesson of that Torah, you begin to think that you yourself are, you start worshiping yourself. And where do we find this all? In the Python. On the Shkolim, we say Yoitzeris. This is a poetry made by the Rishonim. So it says in there, Kitsuvahi Lashovim. It's, you give the, here's the point where the Machzis HaShekel made rich people get a kapara for the Cheta Egel. Because what's the nature of a rich person? The rich person, for example, in Shul, they're making an appeal. One guy gives $18, another guy $36, $72. Then you have this rich guy in the back there, $10,000. Whether he gives it eventually, he doesn't give it eventually, but ooh, everyone, wow, $10,000. So the rich person, he could think, I will buy my kapara. So it says in the Python, tsuvahi, no. Ha-osher lo yarbe, v'hadal lo yamit mimachzer shekel. Each one had to give the same amount. What does that teach you? He says, normally you think a person loses control of money if he gets held up with a gun. Give me your money. Here it's, I want to give the money. I want to give $10,000 to the base of Mikdash. Hashem says, no, you can only give a machzis a shekel. You lose control. That's the pushka box. The pushka box where you have a hole, what your yada made. In this Haftarah, that's how the erech, the lashon that we had, kesef nafshois erchoi, which is, we saw, means a kapara. How do you get the, we're talking about the shkolim, not the erechet. How do you get a kapara when you learn this lesson? You know how money will, you know how money will make that you don't follow the money for the avodah zarah. That's when you learn that you're not the boss. You put money in a pushka box, you lost control. You have to give the machzah shekel, you're not the bala boss. You're not going to give $10,000. All you can give is a machzah shekel. Tzuvahi, it says in the Python. Lashoyim means the besser mention. V'kalim, and the schlepper, Rav Schlesinger said, the guy Nebuch who has nothing. Kitsinim, the chosh of a person. V'roshim, yachad boshkulin. They're equal. Kotzin libli yo'oiz mul maklim. Don't, you rich guy, don't embarrass the poor guy. You schlepper, you gave a machzah shekel, but I gave 10,000 shkolim. Kroy lamar hoini pedani mecholim. You're going to call out, my money, that's the one that redeemed me from problems. You can't get redeemed. You only gave a machzah shekel. I gave 10,000. I'm going to get redeemed. So this is zayitnu. This is what Moshe had a problem. How does money bring a kapara from avodah zarah? The answer is, if you have the right hashkafa of money with the machzah shekel, this is the matbeya shel esh in fire that Hashem showed Moshe that he should teach the Bnei Yisrael, not the coin itself. That Moshe didn't have a problem with. That's not why it's not listed with the three other things, menorah and shrotzim and kiddush hachodesh. There he had a technical problem with it. Here he had no technical problem. He didn't understand how it works. You know what the fire of the Machzor Shekel is? You know what the passion of the Machzor Shekel is? The passion is that Zeh Yitnu, if the usher can only give exactly what the ani, then he's not the owner over the money. It belongs all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're almost completed. The Rebbe, if you have to go. If the Rebbe Reb Zusha says, we find in the Gemara that matzah that's made of demai. What is demai? that if you get tvua, grain, from an Am Haaretz, we don't know, did he give Meiser or not. He's not trustworthy that he gave Meiser. So it's called demai. You have a suffix. Maybe he gave the Meiser. Maybe he didn't give the Meiser. So you're supposed to give the Meiser on misuffic. However, the Rabbanim made a leniency when it comes to matzah. A person needs matzah, and the only matzah he has available is from, which he bought from an Am Haaretz, a person who he can't trust that he gave Meiser. So he's a latu, because the Rabbanim, this whole din that you have, that demai, if you have a suffix, did he give, a doubt, did he give it or not, that you shouldn't use it, most Amaratzim do give Meiser. So we're machmer, it's a chumra mid a Rabbanim, but the Rabbanim said an ani, we don't have to wear a poor person, we're not making this chumra, this stringency for a poor person. So and we're also going to let a rich person for a matzah, a mitzvah, he also. Why? So the Gemara says, the iboy mafkere l'nichse v'haviani. Because he really, he has it in his ability. He could say, I'm a billionaire. I'm part of the Fortune 500. All my money is free. Anybody can take it. So since he has the ability in his control that he could make himself into a poor man, he gets the leniency of matzah, of demai as well. So the question that the Rebbe Reb Zusha asked, what do you mean he has the ability? A guy's in the Fortune 500, he's going to say, oh, all my money belongs to anybody who wants to take it, and now I'm like an ani. If he would do that, there's certain hospitals that we would give him quick admittance into. Which crazy guy would do that? And if he's crazy, then he's potter from mitzvahs altogether. So what does the Gemara mean? What does the Gemara mean that he could do it? Who would do it? Nobody would do it. So the answer is, when Moshe was looking for judges, it says anshe emes soine botza, those who hate money. So why is that the criteria? Why don't you say somebody who hates eating? He's not into eating. He takes a piece of bread and water, and maybe that's the criteria. Why is the height soine botza? He has no lust for money at all. So the answer is because every other yetzer that a person has. A guy starving in the morning gets up, he eats his breakfast, he's okay, he can't look at food until lunchtime, he gets hungry again. Eats his lunch, he's okay till supper. Every other yetzer hara in the world, you wake a guy up in the middle of sleep, he's dead tired, and you wake him up, I have a pizza for you, I have a eggplant parmesan, leave me alone with the eggplant parmesan, I want to sleep now. But you wake him up in the middle of the night, I got a deal for you, you can make $1 million, whoop! I forget about sleep. I can make $1 million. So money is the only yetzer hara that you have it 24/7, nonstop. So he says all the other yetzer haras you can physically do things to your body to get rid of all these yetzer haras. But money is your life, because that's how you're going to live from money. So that is something you could do all kinds of physical things on your body. It's not going to rid you of that desire that's deep in yourself. So Chazal say that Yoeh ani yusol Yisrael kivardoi sumkil lesusyeh charto, which means like a red rose to a white horse. It looks beautiful. You have a pure white horse, and he has on him a beautiful red rose. It's like a magnificent thing. Poorness to the Bnei Yisrael is beautiful like that. So what does it mean? Does it mean that everybody should take all their money and become poor? It means that even if you have money, and even if you're rich, but you don't worship the money, that's what the Gemara says. The iboy mafkere l'nichse v'havi ani. You have it. If I had to serve Hashem by giving up money and being an ani, I'm ready to do that. I'm able to do that. Right now I have money. Money is a thing you need it for avodas Hashem also. The Gemara says, HaTorah chasa al mamoni shiyisrael. The Torah was careful on a person's money. Yeah, the Torah understands that a person needs money for avodas Hashem also. But Can you separate yourself from the money? If you had to serve Hashem as a poor person, would you be able to do that? So that's what it means. Do you have the koach, the ability to walk away from the money? He brought the Chazal say that a king, a king has $100,000. For a son of a king has a king and a son of a king princes, where they work with the millions, multi-millions, having $100,000 is like you're a schlepper, you're an ani. So the Bnei Yisrael, we're Bnei Malachim. So even if we have money, we have $100,000, we have to consider ourselves like Bnei Malachim, like we're princes, where this money to us is like we're a schlepper. In other words, the idea is that we don't make money in Avodah Zarah. So he brought the word Soine Betza is the same word as Etzev. Etzev is depression. He says, and that's what the Pasuk says, Atzabeyim Kesev Zav. Their Avodah Zarah is Kesev Zav. Their depressions are from money. If a person's whole life is running after money, it causes him to be depressed. If you're able to separate, your life is not your money. If you're able to separate yourself from the money, then it can cause you, can lead you out of depression as well. So therefore, he says, now we understand everything, we understand the message of this whole of Torah. The message is, don't become like Yoyish, who after Yoyada was dead, began to think that he began to worship himself, that he's an Avodah Zarah. That can happen when a person starts worshiping money. He starts worshiping Koichi v'Oitzi Miyadi, Oitzi Miyadi, Osili Yisachal Azeh. He began to worship. I was genius in the stock exchange. I made the money. He forgets about Hashem. He kicks Hashem. So therefore the Kesef that we're speaking about in the Gemara is Nafshois Erkoi, not Erichin. That's the definition of machzis hashekel. Machzis hashekel is to say that a person is, instead of his life, a kapora for his life is his money. Moshe didn't understand how could that be by avodah zarah. I understand it by a shorah muad that kills somebody. There I do understand it. But that it should be machaper avodah zarah. How? Hashem showed him with a fiery matbeya. You know what the passion of the matbeya is? The passion is that you can separate yourself from money. That money doesn't become the new avodah zarah that you're busy with day and night. Then That's the money that brought the Egel, the Dizov, that so much money that they forgot about Hashem. So the Kapora on the Kaifer Nefesh, that comes about when you realize the lesson of Machzis Shekel, Ha'osher Lo Yarbe Va'Oni Lo Yamed. You want to give $10,000. You can only give a machzis hashekel. You're not in control. Put it into that pushka box that's locked, where you lose control. That's the message of Yoyada HaKoyen. And that's finally, with this we end, that the pasuk in Mishlei, which is one of the psukim that the Mechilta brought to bring out the concept of kaifer nefesh ish ashroi, that a rich man gets kaifer nefesh, v'rosh, Loishama Ga'ora. The end of the pasuk is, the poor man doesn't hear any shouting. So Rashi says, this refers to the Machzis HaShekel. Because every Jew is the same. The rich man, you know when he can get a Kaifer Nefesh? When he's not able to give the $10,000 pledge. Because you know what he does when he gives the $10,000 pledge? He worships money, he worships himself, and he screams at the Ani. You Ani, I bought my pigeon. You can't afford it. I can afford it. So that, you know, when Rosh Loishama Ga'ara, the poor man doesn't hear shouting from the rich man, that's when the rich man realizes not to make money in Avodah Zarah. And then, and only then, Kaifer Nefesh Ish Ashrei, the rich man will be able to get the lesson of the Machzis HaShekel, and he'll be able to use it as a kapara for the chet ha'egel, the chet of Avodah Zarah.